Next item on the agenda is item number 13, pertaining to restrictions on oyster harvest, pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting, and oysters galore. Mr. Button.
Good afternoon, commissioners and members of the commission. Good to hear your voices, if not see you in person today.
Thank you, sir. Proceed.
All right, this is a public hearing to establish the oyster harvest season. That's Regulation 4, VAC 20-720-10, pertaining to restrictions on oyster harvest, as well as establish online-only mandatory harvest reporting requirements. That's Chapter 4, VAC 20-610-10, pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting. This presentation is going to sort of follow with Jill's triple flounder presentation, but it'll be a double oyster presentation. So I was going to provide some background on each of those regulatory changes and then go over the actual regulatory changes and provide a staff recommendation there at the end on both items. So we can go to the next slide there, please. So this is a little background on the public oyster harvest season. So currently the reported oyster harvest from Virginia waters over the last 20 years has generally continued to track upward and remains relatively stable at close to 500,000 to 600,000 bushels of harvest over the last 5 years. Again, the mandatory reporting for the most recent harvest season isn't exactly up to date, primarily due to some delays as well as issues regarding COVID-19. So that data isn't great right now, but we believe that we're still in a stable condition based on anecdotal reports and the condition of the resource. This harvest includes both harvest from private ground as well as public ground, and it is also the traditional wild harvest from public ground as well as the containerized or cage aquaculture harvest. And all of these different types of harvest have all tracked upward together over this last 20-year period. Along with that upward trend, we've also seen the baywide average oyster densities following the same direction over that same period. So generally, both harvests on public ground, private ground, and traditional aquaculture, as well as containerized aquaculture, as well as the actual oyster densities as measured by our annual surveys, are all tracking upward. So generally, there's more oysters as well as more oyster harvest. Each year, there's an annual stock assessment conducted in conjunction with VIMS and VMRC. And this information, along with the recommendations of the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, is used to develop the proposed public oyster harvest season and recommended management measures each year. Next slide, please. So this is, I'm going to go back one slide there. There we go. These are just some historic numbers there that I wanted to go over as some background of the public harvest season. So what you're looking at here is the combined public and private landings going back all the way to 1880 through the 2018 harvest season. And I just wanted to note that right now, currently, the levels of public harvest are close at that 250,000 to 300,000 bushel level to the sort of historic average going all the way back to the 1950s. So when you look at those harvest numbers in the earlier years when they're up in the millions of bushels, that was really prior to the ravages of oyster disease. And a considerable amount of that harvest was seed oysters that were being replanted on private ground, and it was just a whole different fishery back then. So in the post-disease era of the 1950s, we're actually starting to get back close to those historic numbers. Go to the next slide, please. This is, again, just a snapshot of the last 20 years with the public and private oyster ground harvest combined. And as you can see, that really over the last 5 years, both fisheries have been relatively stable in that 500,000 to 600,000 bushel combined. And I also wanted to note that this doesn't include any seed harvest, either from public ground or private ground, that is later reported in following harvest years as market harvest. But if you were to include that seed harvest, it would add about 100,000 bushels to each one of these categories in total of oysters that are coming out of the water each year. But that later gets reported as market ground harvest, so we don't include it in our harvest numbers for market harvest each year. We could go to the next slide again. This is a breakdown of what I mentioned before about the three types of harvest, really. The public ground harvest, shown in gray there at the top. The wild or traditional harvest from private ground, and then that containerized aquaculture, that's the stuff that, according to our manager reporting, is actually grown in cages, racks, trays, or floats. And generally, over the last 5 years, it's been about 40% public harvest annually, 40% traditional sort of wild harvest, shell planting, seed movement on private ground, and then sort of 15 to 20% of the total harvest is actually coming from containerized aquaculture. So I found this slide sort of informative and helpful for sort of telling folks and informing folks as to where oysters are coming from in terms of what's wild, what's public, what's containerized aquaculture. So that's just a good background slide to have. And as you can see, that they're closely related. Part of this is driven by market factors, but also generally when water quality is good, oysters are growing, and they're happy regardless of whether they're on public ground, private ground, or aquaculture containers. So really what's good for one tends to be good for the others as well. Next slide, please. This is something that the commission and members of that Shellfish Management Advisory Committee and everyone who has worked on the oyster resource for the last 20 years should really be quite proud of here. This is the baywide average oyster density over the last close to 17 years now, based on our annual stock assessment surveys of public oyster ground. As you can see, 2019, so this survey was finished last fall, is actually the highest recorded number of small and market oysters seen during that time period. So the small oysters are there up on top, but many of those do reach market size by the time they're harvested. That yellow line there down at the bottom is the number of market oysters. And again, this follows that same upward trend where the number of market oysters has been staying relatively consistent at about right around 5 markets per square meter here in the last 5 years. At the same time, the number of small oysters has generally tracked upward and harvest has increased. So all those factors combined really show that the fisheries management that the commission has been undertaking, as well as our replenishment restoration efforts, have been having the intended effect of both increasing harvests at the same time the oyster population as a whole continues to expand. So all in all, it's a good trajectory to be on, but again, if you see that little dip in 2018, that was related to that heavy freshwater mortality that we have. So although we're generally tracking upward, there can still be some variability from year to year. And if you get too many bad years in a row, it can start to go back down again. But the good news is generally heading in the right direction, and the highest population we've seen in this recent time period there. All right, go to the next slide, please. All right, I'm going to step back from oyster harvest there to provide a little background on the transition to online reporting only. So we had an online mentor reporting system that was established in 2009. It collects data more efficiently and accurately. Again, this would help with some of those delays we've seen in our harvest numbers. It saves the agency staff time and printable materials money. We're not dealing with those infamous paper reports going back and forth through the mail, and it's just a generally more efficient and cost-effective strategy. I also want to point out that accurate mandatory harvest reporting data, particularly for shellfish, is important in Virginia remaining compliant with the National Shellfish Sanitation Program standards. So we're required to report our harvest numbers annually to the National Shellfish Sanitation Program. And the Virginia Department of Health and the U.S. FDA use these numbers to conduct risk assessments associated with oysters and foodborne illness. So basically, if there's underreporting of the actual harvest levels in Virginia and a few people get sick, it makes it look a lot worse than if there's accurate reporting and that sort of risk per serving is much lower. So accurate reporting is important to staying in compliance. And also accurate reporting generally protects the industry as a whole from having more restrictive changes to our harvest regulations and mandated if it looks like that illness risk is increasing. So this is particularly important for maintaining our harvest regulations for the warm weather harvest of shellfish, which allows folks to enjoy Virginia oysters all year long. I wanted to note and highlight here that this has been presented to industry a number of times through the SMAC committee starting in July. We've also distributed a number of mail trailers and frequently asked question sheets to use your fee holders. This has also been included in information that's been sent out for folks who are doing their online harvest reporting renewal. So everyone who currently holds a Virginia oyster license has been required to take an online training. So the industry as a whole has been able to have access to online, at least for that. So this should be a relatively easy transition for them. And to aid in the transition, we're not going to make this regulation effective until January 1st of 2021 to allow time to continue to promote education and allow folks to have time to set up their online harvest reporting. If you go to the next slide, please. All right, so now I'm going to jump back to the public oyster harvest season and go through the conservation measures that were established last year that will be continuing this year, as well as those that are proposed for the 2020-2021 harvest season. So in 2019, we adopted a shortened harvest day ending at 12 noon in hand scrape and dredge areas for the months of November and February. There was a delay in the start of the hand scrape season until the 1st of November. And there were, with SMAC and working with staff, we put considerable effort into having overlapping areas and opening dates and adjusting where and when certain gears could be used to help spread both the impact to the resource in terms of focused effort, as well as alleviate any possible safety concerns that watermen have expressed with overcrowding, particularly in hand scrape areas. So SMAC and staff are both in support of those measures continuing for this harvest season, as well as establishing the following additional measures for the 2020-2021 harvest season. The establishment of a vessel limit of 28 bushels for vessels harvesting by hand or hand tong. There had previously been no vessel limit. Increasing the individual harvest limit for harvest by hand or hand tong from 12 to 14 bushels. So although this is increased, having the vessel limit will limit the number of oysters taken by an individual vessel, whereas individual harvesters are allowed two additional bushels. So it on balance, this should be more of a conservation measure, as we had a number of vessels in some of the hand tong areas that were catching, you know, upwards of 40 bushels of harvest per vessel there. In addition to that, we propose, SMAC and staff are both in favor of changing the gear type permitted for harvest in one area in the lower Rappahannock. This would be Rappahannock River Rotation Area 1 from hand scrape to patent tong for the entirety of the season. In previous seasons recently, there has been a brief patent tong season followed by a hand scrape season in that area. So this is a little bit of a change from that, whereas this area will remain just patent tong for the entirety of the season. An additional change is the gear type permitted on a portion of an area in the York River. This is the upriver portion of York River Rotation Area 1 from hand scrape to hand tong only. So this is an area where staff has seen oyster densities get to levels that are high enough to make it a very good hand tong area. It's similar to the area that was open to hand tong prior to hand scrape in the York River last year. Then this was one of those places that has very shallow water. And we're seeing some boats getting very quality oysters, you know, 40, 50 bushels per boat with hand tongs there. So this area, as opposed to being open to scrape following this season, we're going to leave it as hand tong and then make any decision on a scrape season in future discussions with SMAC and at the commission for next year. But it would be proposed that this area stay just hand tong for this season with no hand scrape following. These last two changes, the decreasing the fall James River seed quota from 40,000 bushels to 30,000 bushels, and reestablishing the regulatory authority for the cessation of out-of-river seed transfer permits required for the James River seed areas, were not directly vetted at SMAC. I'll get into that a little bit later, but staff is in support of these these measures and has reached out to a number of members of SMAC, and they are not opposed to these measures being in place for the James River seed area. We can go to the next slide from that. Okay, I'm going to go over the regulatory changes again. Those are going to be in yellow. I didn't list all the latitudes and longitudes there for everyone to enjoy on a PowerPoint presentation, but you can see these in the definition sections of 720. That's an addition of a core comb and hand tong area. So we added a new hand tong area. This is an area that's a tributary to the Rappahannock. It comes into Harvest Area 4, and we're proposing opening up an area known as Middle Ground in the Coratomin River to Hantong only. And that required a definition to be added to 720. We also added a definition for the York River Hantong area on page 13 and 15 of the regulation. And because of that division of the current rotation area, we had to change the definition on page 15 for the York River rotation area 1. Next slide, please. So to give you a convenient map of that change there in the York River, basically everything above this line, so sort of upriver or northwest of this red line here, is going to transition over to a Hantong-only area. We also opened two additional pieces of public ground to Hantong-only for a short season upriver as well. And the area below this line will remain York River Rotation Area 1, and in the harvest rotation schedule that we currently have for the York River and a portion of Mob Jack Bay. Next slide, please. Okay, this again would be one of those painful on the eyes with the regulatory changes made, but this is just establishing the months and manners of harvest for the public oyster harvest season. And again, the intent that SMAC and staff have with this season is to keep multiple areas open to multiple gear types and to sort of limit the number of, we could call them standalone areas that are left out there without any other areas open. So if an area, for example, there's only one area open to scrape in 1 month, in the past this has led to boats congregating on this area, which can be potentially dangerous for the harvesters and generally tends to be detrimental to the oyster resource if you have 100, 120 boats working a relatively small area. So the idea behind this season that has the unanimous support of the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee is to keep that effort spread out both by area and by gear types throughout the entirety of the public oyster harvest season. And I wanted to note there that at the SMAC meeting, staff was not in favor at that time of having a sea oyster harvest season in October. With the current regulatory language in place with the 40,000 bushel quota and not allowing the commissioner the authority to stop out of river transport, but has since come to the conclusion with the regulatory changes that both SMAC and staff would be comfortable of that October season for Hantong oysters you see in red there at the top of this draft proposed public oyster harvest season. The other change that came out of SMAC was that Patentong season in Area 1 in March in the Rappahannock, also shown in red there. So staff and SMAC are both in support of those additional changes. And the season that you see otherwise was what was voted and unanimously approved by the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee at the August 12th meeting this month. Next slide, please. This is just a regulatory change on page 21 of the regulation that adjusts the quota and harvest limits for Hantong areas. So this is changing the maximum per person harvest limit from 12 to 14 bushels per day and establishing a vessel limit of 28 bushels for hand or Hantong clean cull oysters. Next slide, please. This is adjusting the James River sea quota for the fall from 40,000 bushels to 30,000 bushels. The 120,000 total season quota will remain unchanged. This is just give staff a little bit more time to survey the areas. We have a little bit of restrictions on the number of folks we can have on survey vessels due to COVID-19, and as a result have to extend our survey season slightly, and we weren't able to get out in the spring of this most recent year and resurvey these areas after the seed harvest. So this will allow us more time to have a better determination on to whether these areas should be opened up to out-of-state seed harvest or out-of-river seed harvest as well. So this regulatory change gives us a little bit more time and flexibility to make that decision before large numbers of oysters are removed, potentially from any single harvest area. So that's a change on page 22 just for that fall seed harvest quota. Next slide, please. And this gives, in 2018, we added this code section that, or excuse me, this this section that allows the commissioner to cease granting out-of-state seed transfer permits. And this year, proposed regulatory change is to add an additional authority for the commissioner to cease granting out-of-river seed transfer permits. This was authority that was established in code prior to the recodification in the early 1990s, but we're just clarifying that the commissioner has this regulatory authority by regulation now to either issue or not issue these permits if such, granting such permits could seriously injure the seed area. So this is just a measure that allows the commissioner to make a determination that this resource is in possibly being damaged by a seed harvest, and that we can take these measures to ensure that the resource isn't damaged if it looks like it could be. Next slide, please. I'm going to jump back to mandatory harvest reporting there for some regulatory language updates. Again, these are just language updates. and again, I want to emphasize that this regulation would not go into effect until January 1st. So on pages 1, 2, and 3, we're just adding definitions of commercial fishermen and seafood landing licenses, remove redundant definitions. On page 9 to 13, just more language updates, establishing online reporting language there, and to clarify our move to Fort Monroe here, and updating some references to other sections. And then again, it's just repealing a redundant section there on page 8 for commercial hook and line licenses. Next slide, please. This is the substantive changes to mandatory harvest reporting on page 9 of the regulation. So this is establishing that online reporting only is a requirement for oysters. It says all records shall only be submitted through the online mandatory harvest reporting program web application. And again, I wanted to just highlight January 1st, this would be effective, and that our online reporting web apps, you can do those by smartphone. Basically, any internet-connected device, you can make an online reporting and report your harvest there. So it's about as user-friendly as the internet gets right here. And that's the substantive changes to that. Next slide, please. Again, this is just establishing that all commercial harvest of oysters shall only be submitted to the online mandatory harvest reporting program web application, and that this is to provide the daily harvest records of oysters as described in subsection H of this section and be submitted no later than the fifth day of the following month. So this just clarifies for online reporting the same reporting requirements that were mandatory before for paper reports. And it also shifted some subsections around on pages 10 and 13 of the regulation. Next slide, please. And the staff recommends adopting amendments to Chapter 4, VAC 2720-10, pertaining to restrictions on oyster harvest, and Chapter 4, VAC 2610-10, pertaining to commercial fishing and mandatory harvest reporting, to establish the 2020-2021 areas of public harvest, public oyster harvest seasons, oyster resource conservation measures, and mandatory harvest reporting procedures for oysters. And with that, I'd be glad to take any questions.
That was a mouthful for sure. Great job, Andrew. To the commission, Andrew will tell you that, and Pat as well, that a couple things are always on my mind as commissioner here, and those are our iconic species, namely the crab, striped bass, and oysters. And I stay on Andrew about the oyster situation, so I'm sure you can echo the fact that we're very, very conscious of it here at headquarters as far as how that harvest and fishery is going. So with that, any questions by members of the commission for Mr. Button?
Commissioner Bowman, this is Christy Everett. I have a question.
Yes, Christy, please. Ms. Everett, please go ahead.
Thank you. Andrew, the great presentation, great work, really important species, as Commissioner Bowman was mentioning, and you all are doing a wonderful job. The oyster land use slide from the 1880 to 2018, is there a sense, obviously 8 million bushels was excessive in the turn of the century, but is there any sense of where we want to be? Obviously, we want to be in an upward trajectory to get somewhere, but I just didn't know if there was a sense of that sweet spot between not overfishing, but being able to utilize an important resource for both the fishery and, of course, have it abundant for the ecosystem. Maybe we could have this conversation in a few years, but just curious, yeah.
I think I can take a crack at that. That right now, given the sort of condition of the overall resource in its, you know, degraded state due to a number of factors, disease, just general habitat degradation, water quality issues, we're at a pretty good level of public ground harvest right now. And I think the most room for greatest expansion is still likely going to be on private ground, either through hatchery produced methods or continued expansion of shell and harvest planting. And when back really in those times when you're seeing millions of bushels, that was pre the epizootic disease that we're still experiencing, although are some hopeful signs that we're getting back to that point. But I don't think that it's unrealistic to see the next 20 years that we may be getting back into those sort of 70s or 80s levels of harvest. But I don't think that in the next 20 years or so, we're going to get back to the millions of bushels of harvest that we saw sort of before disease really showed up. So it would be a tall order to get to that level, but I think that we could probably at least keep things stable while continuing to see that upward expansion sort of incrementally as we go. But I don't think we're going to see 8 million bushels of landings again anytime soon, if that helps answer your question.
Yes, thank you. Good answer, and I appreciate the approach. Thank you so much.
Further question. I think I heard somebody else with one.
Yeah, this is Chad. I've got a question.
Yes, Mr. Ballard.
I was curious what the thought behind the vessel limit for hand tonguing of 24 bushels per day and the individual limit of increasing that. I was wondering, are we making it more expensive by making the harvesters use more boats to accomplish the same amount of harvest? I might be not understanding that right, but it just grabbed me.
I think the intent there is to sort of balance your thought there in terms of it being more expensive per harvester there, I guess, in terms of the increased bushel limit. But having that vessel limit established prevents folks from maybe taking folks who may not be participating in the fishery really much at all, and just having them on a boat just for a limit. So we did see some areas where, you know, upwards of 50 or 60 folks were working right on top of an area and catching probably more oysters, even with hand tongs, than they might should be. So that having that vessel limit established at the same time increasing the per-person limit tries to balance your concern in terms of cost versus the concern of the resource over the amount of effort that's focused on it. So that was why there was a vessel limit established for the first time, but also the per-person limit was increased slightly to 14 from 12. So again, this is a vessel limit that's 28 versus a 16-bushel vessel limit for a hand scrape area. So the level of effort is marginally controlled, as well as the, as you said, the burden to the extra cost of the harvester by allowing for that extra 4 bushels per vessel or 2 bushels per person is mitigated for as well.
Thank you very much.
Further questions? Okay, this is a public hearing. Anyone in the public wish to be heard on this matter for or against? There being none, the matter is before the commission.
This is Chad. I would move that we approve staff recommendation and just add that I think Andrew's done a wonderful job there, very thorough on all those details, and clearly seems to have a handle on the myriad of issues involved in that fishery. So I move we approve staff recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Ballard, and I could not echo the second part of your comments anymore. Is there a second to the motion?
Second by James Minor.
Thank you, Mr. Minor. Further discussion? Mr. France?
Aye.
Mr. Tankard? Mr. or Dr. Neal?
Aye.
Mr. Ballard?
Aye.
Mr. Minor?
Aye.
Ms. Lusk?
Aye.
Ms. Everett?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Andrew, for a very thorough discussion on this very important matter. Greatly appreciated.